Technorama episode 377 for July 17th. We return from the dark side of a wormhole.
And we have cake!
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm trying to kill this Boy Scout of a superhero. You got anything I can use?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for July 17th, 2013. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi. This is my daughter, Julie. And with me is Craig Stepp. What has it been, like 8 years now, dude?
What, since we started podcasting or since we podcasted?
Good
point. Feels like
point.
Both, doesn't it?
It yeah. feels like forever and a day.
Yes,
in fact, I got into the studio and all the stuff was missing. I felt like, you know, when somebody leaves at work, they run
I've been
into
robbed.
College. Dibs on the wastebasket. My H2 wasn't here, so it was tough to record, and we caught that at the last second. The iPad wasn't around. The DVI connector to the second monitor was gone. I'm like, I'm surprised I have microphones in this.
Where are the cats? They've been stealing my stuff.
No, in all honesty, it's great to be back.
Hey, I got to bring something up real quick.
Yes, sir.
I noticed something. You know, I got this nice card from you guys. Your 25th anniversary is coming up, right?
That's right.
Well, look, it looks like you are trying to eat your cat.
Oh, my gosh.
Tastes like chicken.
But why did you use that picture?
I love cats. I just can't eat a whole one myself.
Yeah, it's like, I was like, what's he doing to that cat?
That's on Facebook. That's a banner picture on Facebook right now. Even funnier is when we went to the Phoenix Zoo. Mm-hmm. Julie and Lisa fed the giraffes, and I went up there to take pictures. And then they took the zoo lady took a picture of all of us, and the giraffe stood right there. And it's the exact same order, only it's giraffe Julie Lisa Dad instead of Donna Julie. Wow, Donna turned into a giraffe. All right, let's get this show going because we have so much to talk about. We have a patrol in space, some bizarre aircrafts, and we explore where the origins of that funky symbol on your Mac keyboard. I know that clover thing. I know the answer to that. Coming up right over to this.
All right.
Bob's holding me up a new headline from yesterday.
It sounds like crap.
That's what we like at Technorama.
Sounded dead.
Good stuff. I'm glad you found that one.
This stuff is so great, and you don't need high-level math.
Yikes.
When you don't have confidence, just fake it.
Hey, this is Kate Vernon, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
And that's how I met William Shatner. I love that story. It never gets old. Hey, we want to give a shout out to the chat room. We are doing this live every week, and they know a few things that you don't. Oh, my goodness. We had a podcast list frequently. Look how many people are in the chat room.
I know. No kidding. There's like 8 Zyodooms.
Thank you, people. Either that or our social media campaign is getting much, much better.
Yeah. Wow, we're doing something right.
We have in the chat room, well, you and me, of course, we have Casper the Ghost, Comedy Knee Forecast, N-E-E, knee, as I take it, not as in the knee, Captain Not Dead Yet, Ghostly Tim, Gru, Mark Shepard, oh my goodness,
wow. Where
are we? I think people are impersonating old people at this point.
Maybe we should take breaks more often.
On the Drift. We have Zaha Doom, Zaha Doom 1, and Zaha Doom 1 underscore. Don't ask.
He's so happy to be here. He's here 3 times.
He's been reincarnated or something
like...
Oh,
he's on 3 computers watching the same chat room.
Captain, there's been a transporter accident. And we've got Zombie Mad Marv. We just got way too much fun going on. Thank you for joining us in the chat room. If you want to join us, you can do so every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Time. You can find us on our website, which is, of course, chuckchat.com/technorama. Or if you're in the Hangouts, you know, you're a Google Plus kind of person, follow me or Craig, and most importantly, Technorama Podcast, and you will get those fun little notices that come up and say, Technorama starts in 30 minutes.
It's more like, be there! Technorama stays.
I thought it was more like Rain Man. 30 minutes till Technorama.
30 minutes to Technorama.
Kmart
yeah.
sucks.
Yeah. Wapner sucks. No, wait.
We have our birthday calendar also. Looking at the birthday calendar, we have one birthday this week. And I'm not going to go back and retrospectively go get everybody for the last 6 weeks since we haven't been on the air. This week is Nikolai from Dancing with Elephants, or formerly podcast known as Dancing with Elephants. Now it's just a crazy little squiggly symbol.
Squiggly says
formerly known as Dancing with
Elephants. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's one of those happy legal birthday, Nikolai. Symbols. It was like two S's or something.
He's
like
got
to
be,
about.
Let's see, you know,
18?
507.
I think he started college.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Nikolai from Dancing with Elephants. And when I grow up, I'm going to learn the binary language of moisture evaporator.
I learned them. No, I learned the language of moisture evaporators, and it didn't do anything for my career.
Hey, if you want to be on the birthday calendar, happy birthday, by the way, to Nikolai. And if it's your birthday and you're not on the calendar, shame on you. You should be on the birthday calendar. And you can do so by going to chuckchat.com/wiki. And happy birthday to you if it's your birthday and you're not there. You know, we can correct that. Somebody actually corrected that today. I have no idea who it was or where they put their birthday, but we'll get it, provided we're not off the air. What are you looking at?
Off power. The air.
She's stealing my power cord.
Yeah.
What happened to yours? I plugged it in for you.
Where is it?
And that's how William Shatner.
Yeah. I plug in her power and then she steals mine.
Well, I don't. Where did it go? I just. No. I have 3% battery. It's not going to work.
Okay.
Well, those of you watching this video, keep in mind this is very a professional show.
Very professional.
Welcome to Technorama. If this is your first time listening, this is how it goes. Okay. We've now exchanged power cords effectively.
I think it'll be okay.
On with the show! On this day in history for July 17th, 2013. This is July 17th. It's the 198th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 167 days remaining until the end of the year. Blah, blah, blah. It was on this date in 1856 that the great train wreck, not just the very good train wreck, of 1856 in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, kills over 60 people.
And that same date in 1867, Harvard School of Dental Medicine was established in Boston, Massachusetts. It was the first dental school in the U.S. that was affiliated with the university.
Julie, take the next one.
With a university.
Alright, NEC Corporation is organized as the first Japanese joint venture with foreign capital today in 1899.
July 17, 1955, Disneyland is dedicated and opened by Walt Disney in Anaheim, California. Yay!
Yay! And the small boy nuclear test shot, known as Little Feller.
One. Little Feller
I,
one.
I'm sorry, I started to say I, but Little Feller, but well, I, one. Stop it.
Good Roman numerals there, Craig.
This is America. Anyway, becomes...
I becomes the last atmospheric...
Making
right,
me laugh.
No, it's not going to work.
Yeah, but you read it, Julie, whatever your name is.
Becomes the last atmospheric test detonation at the Nevada National Security Site on this date in 1962. I think you're just giving Craig the hard ones is what's happening.
An American Apollo and Soviet Soyuz spacecraft dock with each other in orbit today in 1975. I remember watching that on the news. Marking the first such link up between spacecraft from two nations.
And on this date in 1981, a structural failure leads to the collapse of a walkway at the Hyatt Regency in Kansas City, Missouri, killing 114 people and injuring more than 200.
Remember that quite well, too. Do you want the next one, Julie?
The first flight of the B-2 Spirit stealth bomber was 24 years ago today.
And it was on this date in 1996, off the coast of Long Island, New York, a Paris-bound TWA Boeing 747 Flight 800 exploded mysteriously, killing 230 on board. Happy birthday on this date goes out to George... Lemaitre, I hope.
Lemaitre.
La Matra. Okay, yeah, that's why.
Something like that.
But he's a Belgian priest, astronomer, and cosmologist. Cosmologist born on this date in 1894.
And actor James Cagney is also born today in 1899.
Worst Cagney impersonation ever. Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to funny woman Phyllis Diller. She would have been 96 had she not passed away last year.
How unfortunate. Inventor of the laser, physicist Gordon Gould was born on this date in 1920.
And Russian mathematician Sergei Gordonov turns 84.
You know what mathematician Sergei Gordonov is noted for, right?
His approximation theory, right?
His approximation theory, right. He goes,
that's exactly what I was
going to
say. Come on, Julie.
good enough.
Thanks.
Good enough. Other notable birthdays today include actor Donald Sutherland, who turns 78.
Princess Charles' sweetie, Camilla, the Duchess of Cornwall, is 66.
Would that make Charles the fancy man of Cornwall?
I hope so.
Probably. And the Hoff, David Hasselhoff, is now 61.
How old is Kit?
60.
He's a 1979 Firebird.
81.
And finally, Cory Doctorow turns 42, and that's the way it was on this day in history for July 17, 2013. Wow, Craig's going to have fun editing that one.
I know. Actually, by the way, he was an 82 Pontiac.
I said Firebird, right?
Trans Am. No, Trans Am. It's a Trans Am. Pontiac Trans Am.
Okay, what's the difference?
Oh, there's a big difference. The front end.
All right, you're going to get all gearhead on me.
Actually, you know, Harrison and I mentioned this on Facebook. Harrison and I were watching an episode off Knight Rider this morning, and he was making fun of all the tech stuff. Like, he saw a computer sitting on a desk, and I said, hey, what do you think about that computer? He said, that's not a computer, it's an old TV. Because it's a big CRT.
The monitor.
And then, yeah. Oh, geez. And then there's a scene where April is on a cordless phone, which that in itself is kind of laughable nowadays almost. But it's a cordless phone, and he thought she was on a walkie-talkie because of the big antenna. Which it did look like one. Nice. I thought it was funny. Yeah.
And speaking of cars, boy, that couldn't have been a better segue if we had planned.
Yeah,
a company has built a replica of the car Homer Simpson designed. Remember when Danny DeVito was his brother? And he gave him free reign to design a car. The Homer. The car Homer designed in The Simpsons after being given a job at Powell Motors by his half-brother Herb in season two. That was season two?
Wow.
When you think this is, what, 23 now? Oh, my goodness.
It's funny.
The season two episode, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? This real-life version was built by Porcubimmer Motors. Oh, there's a well-known name, and with a model that looks like that. Put that on the still store, will you, Craig?
Oh, yeah. Let me get back over here.
And while not an exact replica, i.e. no bubble driver's compartment, it's pretty darn close. I drive it.
Granted. I like this tape that says powerful, like a gorilla.
Yeah, I love that. There you go. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, and they've got the cartoony ones a little further below, too.
Oh, yeah, let me go down here and see.
That's there nice. You go. The Homer.
See, look, it looks just
design.
Like it.
Yeah.
He scribbles something on there and gets it.
Yeah, there's his design.
Build it. Oh, my. I wonder, did it say how much it cost to build the Homer replica?
I don't know, but I love that old Simpson, Homer's face, when he's got that stupid grin and his eyes are pointing off in two directions. He just looks so stupid. There you go.
He's so happy.
Look at the grill on that. That's awesome.
That looks like a Rolls grill.
Yeah, I think it looks similar to it.
It probably did, just to make it look a little fancier. You have found a camera story, an interesting camera story. Tell us, strange and hacks and strange stories guy.
Well, you know, nowadays you can print just about anything. I mean,
with a 3D printer, you can even print your lunch.
Yes, right. Actually, I've seen guys.
And a plastic guitar.
What's that, Julian?
The future is here.
The future is now.
Yeah, the future is now. The future is right around the corner. But no, I mean, with any, really, you can print about anything. And why not print a camera? So Maker, let's see, Leo Marius. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. He said he wasn't satisfied with the state of 3D printing camera, printed cameras. So he actually, he went out and made his own, and they call it the Open Reflex, and actually opened up the design so you can download it and try it, tweaking it or whatever you want to do for yourself. So it's really an open source printed camera.
So does it print the parts and then you put it together?
That's correct.
Okay, so I can see that for a lot of parts. What about the CCD and the lens?
This is a film camera.
Okay, what about the lens?
Well, I imagine the lens part, you probably need to attach it, because if you look at the picture...
That's right? A pretty professional-looking lens.
Yeah, I think he... Yeah. Hold on a second.
It looks kind of like the old ones they used to stick in on the closeout shelf at the camera store.
Yeah, I think he actually just attached that. I don't think I know he didn't print that part.
But you'd need to... Yeah, your printer would need to design the mount.
Yeah, you could design
the
mount.
What's on the top? Is that an LCD or something?
Viewfinder. You can look down in it to see
off the mirror. Oh, so it's a top-down viewfinder like the old box cameras.
Well, it's an SLR. An SLR, you know, has a mirror in it. So when the mirror is down in the down position, it's at 90 degrees, so you can see what's coming. I'm pointing like I can tell
so
you.
So he's only got one mirror instead of two, like the SLRs that you and I use.
Well, no, we only have one mirror.
Okay, how is it that we see things right side up then?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I was thinking inside the thing.
Yeah, I was thinking inside of that. Cabin. I'm right.
Well, that's why it's down like that. You know, I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it is backwards, upside down, that kind of thing. But anyway, you get the idea. And I'll go down here where...
Is that held together with pop rivets? What is that?
Yeah. Screws. It looks like all you do is... Mm-hmm. That's the only thing you really need is the screws to put it together. So it says the Open Reflex is an open source analog camera with a mirror viewfinder and an awesome finger-activated mechanical shutter. What's more, it's compatible with any photographic lens.
Any lens?
I guess so.
Well, and different manufacturers have different mounts. I can't swap a Nikon with a Canon lens.
All the pieces easily...
Sorry.
All the pieces... two? Tomasi's? So all the pieces are easily printable on it. I'm sitting here... You can just read it yourself. I got a screenshot up. No. So all the pieces easily printable on a recent, they mentioned a printer name, model name there, without using any support material. Everything should print in less than 15 hours, and anyone should be able to assemble it within 1 hour. All parts are separate, film receiver, shutter, viewfinder, all that good stuff. Because a lot of times you can print things together and all, you know, and they just work. So
where
the source
get the
files
film?
A score?
Yeah,
you can get harder and harder to find these days.
It is. So
eBay.
Anyway. eBay. Yeah,
that
actually.
I have a roll over there on the shelf that hasn't gone anywhere in about 10 years.
Here you go. Here you go. Right here, there's a picture of all the parts kind of
that's
sitting around.
That's not a lot of parts.
No, it's not. Well, you know, it's just a camera. Well, it really doesn't need a whole lot of parts.
A shoebox and a pinhole.
I think we need one of these at our house next year. Me and the people I'm moving in with at college. It's like, all right, I'm bringing the couch. Mike's bringing the kitchen table. Who's bringing the 3D printer?
3D printer. Among a bunch of engineering students. Can you see that going horribly wrong?
Yeah.
You can make your own. We have 3D modeling software.
You're
going to
wind up making
parts.
Like robotic pets or something.
No.
Meow, meow. And it's an interchangeable pet.
So anyway, it's really cool. If you don't, if you don't like the design of it, I'm sorry, it's open source, so you can change it all you want.
Right.
All right.
Pretty sweet.
Let's take a real quick break. We'll be back with the Remember When segment, where we are going to try and remember how to podcast for one, but something from Macintosh. Is this from like Macintosh Folklore Radio, the folklore.org?
Yeah.
Honest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the kicker. We don't want this technology to be available to every hobbyist. That's enough. That's quite enough, R2. Oh, he's messed with it. He must be the expert. So show us your editor.
Marty, we need to go back in time. 1.21 gigawatts.
Hey, I smell another intro, but here's the quote that really got me. Lipsum aporum or whatever that is. 1.5.0.1. I don't know what's wrong with my voice. I can't work like this. I'm out of here.
Now we're in trouble.
What kind of garbage is that?
I'm Seth Shostak, senior astronomer at the SETI Institute. Now back to Chuck and Craig.
So, they weren't even my pants. Oh, we're back.
Yeah, they were mine. Wait.
How they got there, I don't know. In the Remember When segment, we have the story about how Apple actually came up with that little crazy clover-looking key on your keyboard. We thought it was important for the user to be able to...
Make the gang sign.
The nerd gang sign.
Yeah.
We thought it was important. This is from folklore.org. Important for the user to be able to invoke every menu command directly from the keyboard. So we added a special key to the keyboard to invoke menu commands, just like our predecessor Lisa. Not her sister Lisa. We called it the Apple key. When pressed in combination with another key, it selected the corresponding menu command. When displayed, a little Apple logo on the right side of every menu item with the keyboard command to be associated with the key with the command. One day, late in the afternoon, Steve Jobs burst into the software fishbowl area at Bandley 3. Or is that Illinois? I can't. Now you got me doing that.
It wasn't in Illinois.
From upset about something. Jerk. This was not unusual. I think he had seen Mac Draw for the first time, which had longer menus than our other applications. There are too many apples on the screen. It's ridiculous. We're taking the Apple logo in vain. We've got to stop doing that. After we told him that we had to display the command key symbol with each item that had one, he told us that we'd better find a different symbol to use instead of the Apple logo. And because it affected both the manuals and the keyboard hardware, we only had a few days to come up with something else.
Yeah, isn't that always the way it happens? Like, oh, great, let's figure out some... What? We got to figure it out now because the manual and everything's being printed at the same time?
It's difficult to come up with a small icon that means command, and we didn't think of anything right away. Our bitmap artist, Susan Kerr, had a comprehensive international symbol dictionary, and she leafed through it looking for an appropriate symbol that was distinctive, attractive, and had at least something to do with the concept of a menu command. Finally, she came across a floral symbol that was used in Sweden to indicate an interesting feature or attraction in a campground. She rendered a 16x16 bitmap of our little symbol, and it showed it to the rest of our team, and everybody liked it. 20 years later, even the OS X, the Macintosh, still has a little bit of Swedish campground in it.
Hey, in other news, the Swedish campground suing Apple now.
Just like the Swiss clock people.
Yeah, they're taking all our Swedish stuff.
First it's a campground, then what's next?
Birdie birdie.
The chef?
It's not the campground, it's the principal.
Birdie birdie, birdie birdie.
Our tourism board is very happy with the way Apple portrays it, but they won't give us any credit.
They changed the name to iCamp.
Our sincerest apologies to everybody's accent that we just massacred.
Yeah.
To all Swedes, anybody basically in Europe.
We love your meatballs.
And the muffins.
The food kind. No, I'm strictly talking food here.
Oh, hey. All right. There goes our clean tag.
All right. See y'all later.
Okay. Watch out. A Star Wars film editor tests out Boba Fett's first costume. Oh, my. Boba Fett's first costume. In 1978, George Lucas had approved a new character, The Empire Strikes Back, a bounty hunter known as Boba Fett. The character had been sketched out by designer Ralph McQuarrie and Joe Johnston, and it was finally time to show off a prototype of the costume. These results of that early exhibition, and there is a link to the YouTube thing in our show notes if you follow that through. And it was finally, the results of that early exhibition, in which assistant film editor Duane Dunham played Fett, had been floating around online for some time. But a new video of the test was posted on YouTube just a few days ago. Oh, boy. I didn't look at the video yet. Had a chance to do, Craig?
Yes, I did. Actually, it was kind of neat because...
He kind of looks more like a stormtrooper.
It looks like he's draped in merchandise,
Ewok
though.
Towel.
he's draped in merchandise. Early test of Boba Fett didn't work well because he's shilling for the man. No, but But no, it was pretty cool. He's just basically standing there and he's, you know, kind of posing and, you know, kind of the kind of moves you see Boba Fett make, you know. It's not much to it. And Ben Burtt, by the way, you know, the sound effects guy.
Yeah.
Off to the side with the microphone. You can see right here in the video. And he's just kind of narrating it and he's saying, this is, you know, he's explaining the whole thing as you watch it. So, yeah, nothing special. He didn't like
use the jetpack and fly off. Is there any audio that goes with it?
Yeah. He's going to the microphone, man. That's not a lightsaber. Yes. So Ben's talking about it. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember the whole little backstory with this. You have to watch the video, and it's pretty good.
Oh, before I forget, we haven't been doing a show for a while, and this is just sort of, I don't know, in amongst the Remember When stuff. Our saddest condolences to the family of Douglas Engelbart, inventor of the mouse, and yes, some other things. So, didn't want to let the show go by without a mention to the Engelbart family. Sorry for your loss, and he will be remembered. I know we've mentioned him on Technorama before. Mm-hmm. One of those people that you probably don't recognize the name, well, unless you're an Uber nerd, but he had so much to do with everybody's life, and they don't even realize it these days.
Yeah, you know, real quickly, I'll throw a side in here. I think we may have talked about him. I remember him on being on Tech TV one time. He was on the Screensavers or something like that, and he was talking to Leo.
Was he?
Yeah, he was talking to Leo about teaching his kids how to count in binary. Which I think you did the same thing, didn't you?
Yeah.
She was 7 years old. Talking about binary using and Boolean algebra.
He was talking about using his fingers. And,
oh, come on. You remember one and one is one. One and zero is zero. You know.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, well.
Way to go, Chuck. You didn't do your job right.
I didn't give her the final exam, I guess.
Yeah. She's going to be in college and it's going to be on a test. What? You know?
Yeah. I'm lucky it wasn't on
You know exclusive or an inclusive or, though, right?
Yeah, because of that joke. Would you like super salad? Yes.
You need to say, would you like soup X or salad?
Yes, X or salad. That's right.
It was an inclusive or. One and one or one is still one.
That's right.
All right. Oh, where's my button for the media corner?
Can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Boy Scout, hey, be gone.
Did we even take a break?
We did.
Okay. Was I here?
We did, right before Remember When.
Okay.
You forgot to write down the time in the show notes, didn't you?
Uh-oh.
That's all right. I'll find it.
Before Star Trek and Star Wars, there was Space Patrol. This sounds like something I put on radio yesterday.
I know. Well, actually, I also know exactly what I was thinking. Actually, you know what I thought was, we should bring back radio yesterday.
Somebody must have done like a robotic search or a very tedious search because they left me about 25 messages that said, hey, by the way, the audio file for this is missing. Apparently, when I migrated from Libsyn over to self-hosted a number of years ago, I didn't grab all the files and some are missing. So I'm trying to repair that little oversight. But it made me remember that it's very easy to do, and I should bring back radio yesterday because I have a vast collection. See all these CDs right here, Julie?
Yep.
Each one of those has about 50 episodes of some old-time radio show on it.
Jeez,
and there's
where'd you get all that?
Several hundred. One of our listeners.
Okay.
Whose name escapes me right now, and he'll probably call me out on it.
Hey, well, we'll talk afterwards.
Adam Larson. Ha, got it. Yeah, he sent them. So thank you very much. We'll get taken care of that. Oh, so that was like a very subversive way of working in a promo for another podcast, wasn't it?
Let's reel it back in. All right.
As I sit at the opening of the new Star Trek film, my eyes are on the big screen, but my mind... When was this written, dude?
I don't know. Hey, June 25th, I don't find these things.
What is he watching?
6:25.
New Star Trek film. Star Trek. I thought it said Star Wars. I'm like, whoa, what? Oh, what? Okay. My eyes are on the screen, but my mind is nearly 60 years in the past. It was there when it all began. I may not look like a Han Solo or James T. Kirk, but one day in 1951, I piloted a movie spaceship on a Hollywood soundstage long before Harrison Ford or William Shatner ever did. I was 11 years old. On the corner of Melrose Avenue and Vine Street in Hollywood stood an enormous building the size of an airplane hangar. These were the TV studios KECA-TV, an ABC station that is producing the most popular space opera of all time. It was called Space Patrol.
You got to put your fist up when you say it.
And became the longest running science fiction or space program ever to appear on television, airing 900 episodes.
What?
All live.
Oh, geez.
Between 1950 and 1955. This was 15 years before a fighter pilot named Gene Roddenberry became
free and started. Wait a minute. For 5 years, they came out with 900 episodes?
Yes.
This must have been like a daily serial or something.
It's like 18 a year? That's not unreasonable.
Not 18 a year.
Not 18. 180. Oh, geez. That's pretty unreasonable.
Go back to binary. Hey, I was going to say 18
no,
a year.
It's 180, I promise.
That's impressive. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to have to search my archives and see if there was a radio version of this, because I swear there was. I'll have to look.
Well, it sounded familiar when I was reading this, but it's kind of neat to watch. You know, it's got that sci-fi pulp feel to it, you know, which I really like.
Like watching old Doctor Who? Was it any good? Could we Misty it?
Were there aliens?
It's one of those. Yes, actually, good. Okay. As a matter of fact, I think it's prime for that. But you know, it is kind of. I didn't watch the whole thing. It's kind of fun to watch. But at the same time, yes, it's a little. It's dated.
Can you see the strings as the ship flies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really a paper plate.
Sparklers like out of the back of Flash Gordon's old ship.
I saw this thing where they ate a cat. Oh, there it is.
I love cats. I just can't eat a whole one myself.
No, you sound like Alf.
I think that's where that line comes from. Yeah. So that's cool. I want to go see Space Patrol. Are all episodes out there on YouTube?
I don't know. I've only seen the one that was embedded here, but maybe.
I'm going to look right now.
Actually, Space Patrol. Thermonoids. Sounds like something you get treated to.
Yeah.
Like you
Space Patrol you Wandering Asteroid from 1963. That doesn't make sense. I thought it only ran for 5 years.
Hey, the title says Thermonoids, which sounds like something you pick up something at Walgreens to help you.
Isn't that stuff that burns really hot? Thermonoid. Well, that's thermite.
You also
Space
pick
Patrol
something up
season
for Walgreens
one,
for
the
that,
swamps
too.
Swamps of Jupiter.
No, yeah. See, it's a thermonoid when it's in the atmosphere. It's a thermite when it's on the ground.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Someone's been watching the Science Channel.
That's right.
So it's just a thermon when it's in space.
A thermon.
A thermon.
Or that's wait, a that's theremin. A musical instrument.
That's a free range right there. Thermon.
We have gone all over this particular article.
I don't know what we're doing anymore.
Where were we?
Yeah, forget consistency here.
Oh, poor new listeners. I feel so sorry for them. Yeah, let's jump to the Geek Library.
Yeah.
In the Geek Library, we have... What do we have here? The Caspian
Strange,
Sea
bizarre
Monster.
Aircrafts.
Aircrafts. Oh, that's good. Because, you know, nothing else says...
There's like 10 jets on there.
You know you're going to have to show some of these on the screen, Craig, since you put in a visual. This is a treat for our visual. Man, there's like a whole
these
bunch
are
of...
weird. I don't.
It's not even a jet. It's
on.
A prop plane. Look, it's got like a cowling on this thing. The Caspian Sea Monster had 10 jets, 4 on each wing, 2 above, and a big V tail like a.
It looks ridiculous.
And then there's the little Stipa Caproni. It's
with the hole in the middle.
The hole in the middle.
You
it looks
what?
Like you could retrofit this with a jet,
you know,
but it's
the problem I have with this one. Where do you put your stuff?
In the little. Bump the camel bump on the back.
Camel bump. I mean,
how
it's like a
get
big
up
hole.
There?
Yeah, it's a big ladder that goes to the camel hump.
This thing looks like someone ate a, you know, like okay. And
but look
then
when they built
the...
this thing. Look, 1932.
That's you know they did a lot of innovation. It's kind of like the
some things worked, some things didn't.
What was the pre-Cambrian era where we had this explosion of diversity in life? This was like a pre-Cambrian aviation era.
So we find
tell you,
a little... Go ahead.
Well, something else that was amazing, this is kind of similar. It's not as outrageous as some of these, but when we were in Alaska, we went to a museum, and they had the history of, you know, flight in Alaska, because, you know, they had to use aircrafts to get supplies to coal miners and other projects going on. So they had these people flying in dangerous areas, you know. There's no way a plane should be able to land in these places. And they had homemade skis.
Yeah.
And, like, some of them look like, you know, there's no way that worked, but...
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
All right. Scroll down to the Blumenvoss, which sounds like a swear word.
Now, that looks like something Han Solo or a... Looks like Harrison Ford was fighting that German guy.
Well, kind of, only he knocked the cockpit right off the wing.
Yeah, man.
This would actually work for tourism, because that darn in the propeller doesn't get in the way in front of you. So they move the cockpit off to the side.
What is that for?
Who knows? I'm saying this is an experimental time.
It's a reconnaissance vehicle.
I would love to see some of these.
It says it right there. It's a reconnaissance vehicle.
Okay.
Aircraft, excuse me, sorry.
A World War II German tactical reconnaissance aircraft notable for its uncommon structural asymmetry. And that's putting it mildly.
Yeah, it's surprising that that worked.
The Douglas XB-42 Mixmaster, which pretty much sounds like the appliance it is.
Wait a minute.
Yo, yo, what's up? The Mixmaster.
I was thinking more of something to blend your juices and drink for breakfast.
No, it sounds like a free downloadable application that lets you edit music.
No, see, it's got the counter-rotating propellers on the back, so you could stick that baby in your ice cream and go...
Yeah.
Libellula, I think.
You know what? I'm sorry, the Mixmaster, I was just thinking, how much more power do you need to push a plane than pull it? Which is more efficient?
They got to be about the same.
I like this one with the forward canards. Next one down, the Libellula.
The double wing thing?
This thing looks like it was put together backwards somehow.
It doesn't look so out of place.
It's got almost a more modern, futuristic design to it with the canard on the front and the wing set way back, but it is a prop plane.
Yeah, it says that it gives the pilot an excellent view for landing on aircraft carriers. So, I imagine so.
American XF-82 looks like they remembered quite the armament, but forgot where to put the cockpit.
Hey, it's a drone!
Where do you actually sit? You don't.
It's an early drone.
And I have
drone.
Seen the Northrop XB-35, next one down. That was actually one of the predecessors to what eventually became
the stealth fighter.
Yes, the stealth bomber. You're right.
Does it say what year that was in?
No.
Darn.
But they originally had this as a prop plane, then they've built it out as a jet plane, and the concept of the flying wing sat on the drawing table, and then they came back out. I used to watch that show on Discovery Channel called Wings a lot, which also had the next one down, the XF-85 Goblin. Very unstable thing. This thing just kind of flopped around in there.
There you go. By the way, that other plane, I think it said 1946.
That's the YB-35, slightly different. Yep.
Yeah, first flight, 1946.
Sorry. Yep, we were looking at the XB-35, slightly different, but same concept. Flying wing. You like the Goblin? Yeah. I wouldn't fly that if you paid me.
What is that? Is that the tail hook on the front?
This thing just goes.
I have no clue. What's it doing up there?
I hope the hook doesn't fail, because the tow cable.
Hits you right in the forehead.
You could fly up underneath another plane and latch on, kind of like another Harrison Ford movie when he did from the Zeppelin.
Look, pilot, this plane has a nasty reputation of taking your head off.
There are a ton, including the Avro car. A ton of these on this page that you gave. This is awesome.
This one looks like a rocket. It's standing up on its tail.
Yeah, vertical takeoff and landing.
We have that nowadays, but it don't look quite as ridiculous.
Don't forget the flying pancake.
Hey, whoa! The Delachner.
Flying saucer.
That looks so dangerous. If you slip...
That looks dangerous. Don't slip or you'll be sliced to die.
It slices and dices.
Yeah, just hover over your favorite fruits and beverages.
Yeah, and also Julian's fries.
You like this one with the oblique wing?
How does that work?
I don't know. Craig's getting down to the Avro car.
That's cool.
It got all of 5 feet off the ground and then nearly tipped over. The Super Guppy, which carries around spacecraft parts, is down a little further.
Oh, a little further.
This one's got backwards wings. X-29?
Wow.
Yep. Yep. That one, I think, was actually at... the X-29 was at EAA a few years ago.
You know what?
Man, this thing just goes on and on. We are only getting started.
Hey, by the way, let me... I gotta, you know, some of these beg the question, what's more important, form or function? Because, you know...
That one, the B377PG, the Super Guppy, is definitely function.
It looks like a whale.
Actually, I flew in the Airbus A380, and it looks a lot like that. And yeah. It was a sweet ride.
Probably look at that. The most wings are backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go down just a couple more to the super triple... Like nano plane.
The Caproni Naviplano?
Yeah.
It's which one?
The floating triplane. Yeah. That one.
Hey, if two wings work, more would be better.
More wings equals more flight,
I just,
right?
I gotta read the caption on this more one. Flight. The Caproni CA60 Naviplano was a 9-wing flying boat intended to be a prototype for a 100-passenger transatlantic airliner. It featured 8 engines and 3 sets of triple wings. 2 pontoons mounted on each side were intended to give the aircraft stability. Only one example of this aircraft was built by Caproni. The prototype only made one short flight on March 4th, 1921, over Lake Maggiore in Italy. Maggiore? Close enough. The aircraft attained an altitude of only 18 meters, about 60 feet, and then dived and crashed, breaking up on impact.
So it was intended to be a prototype for a 100-passenger transatlantic airliner. How's that working out for you?
Not so well after that pilot.
Compare that to what we use nowadays for the same purpose.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Caproni had the wrecked airplane towed to shore and announced that it would rebuild it. But that night, it burned to ashes.
Hey, totally accidental.
Safety first.
Yeah, it was totally accidental about it blew up.
All right. And on that note, we're going to end this show before it bursts into flames.
Hey, by the way, hold on, we got a couple minutes. I want to tell you, we saw Pacific Rim today.
How was that?
That was so much fun. I am not kidding.
Does it have any kind of story? I've heard a lot about the visuals, but I haven't heard anything else.
Well, look, I'll just give you a once over kind of what's in the trailers, but because I don't want to ruin it for anybody, of course.
In a world.
Yeah, in a world. No, what it is there's like a portal in the Pacific, at the Pacific Rim, where the tectonic plates meet, and aliens are actually coming through there and attacking Earth rather than coming from, you know, the stuff.
Because aliens live in the mantle.
The center of the earth.
Something tells me I'm going to misty this thing before I even get started.
No. It's actually a lot of fun. I read before we went, I was at Guillermo del Toro. He mentioned that he was shooting for making a summer blockbuster action film, but a little bit lighter and fun, not necessarily with a brooding, you know, heaviness about it. Which, you know, that's exactly what it was. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, the humans built these giant robots to fight these giant monsters, the kaiju, that were coming out of the fissure. That were, you know, they were destroying cities. They took out San Francisco and 3 other cities, and that's kind of where things started. So anyway, so they built these giant robots to fight them, and it was a lot of fun. There wasn't, you know, some weird love triangle or nothing, and they were just. Their focus was they're trying to save humanity from these things coming out of the ocean. And it was really good. It was really good.
So they were in the ocean trying to save huge manatees?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yes. The huge manatees.
Yeah, mutant manatees. Yeah. No, but it was, I'm not kidding. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Hey, I looked over at Harrison and he had this huge grin on his face because, you know, there's these giant robots and,
why did they need 2 people in the giant robot?
Well, it didn't really give anything away, but it's in the movie. Okay. What it is the one, it's too much for one pilot to control it because they have to use their, it's like a, almost like a brain, not a trans, not a, they use their minds to control the robot.
Well, okay, it's not for one person. I'm going on the left foot. Now you move to the right foot. Left foot, right foot.
Yeah. They actually link up their brains. through the computer, mm-hmm. and then they can both control it. So that's how it works.
Okay.
So.
I heard it got bumped to third place, though, this weekend.
Really? I don't know. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Grown Ups 2 first bumped it out of the top spot, which says a lot about Hollywood. I think you had posted something about that. And Despicable Me 2 has now jumped up into first place, edging out Grown Ups 2. And Pacific Rim falls to third. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I'll save that one.
It was fun. You just go have a good time with it. It's not stupid. Right. It's nothing crazy, but it's a lot of fun.
Sounds like we'll have to make that happen before the next business trip. All right, that takes us to the end of the show. If you like anything you've heard or you don't like anything you've heard and you just want to leave comments, hey, like John Bell says, it's a free country. You can leave a message on the listener line at 206-222-2428, 206-222-CHAT. Get it? Chuck, chat. We did that on purpose, in case you couldn't tell for the last 8 years. Or email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. We're also available on Twitter at C. Tomasi, Step K, all that good stuff. Oh, and by the way, we do have a show at Dragon Con coming up again. Friday, 8:30, is that what you said?
That's 8 o'clock, the time they emailed me. Yep.
Our usual spot, or close enough to it. Don't be late. Still probably Hilton Room 204, just like the last 4 years. So we're looking forward to doing that. Look forward to seeing you there. If you're headed to Dragon Con, look us up. We're going to be probably wearing black again. Like Maybe. Always.
Yeah.
Thank you to Mad Marv for providing all the great blog content during the week. He does a marvelous job at keeping that all up to date.
A marvelous job?
A mad marvelous job.
Thank you for the people in the chat room. We are going to massacre another Star Trek original series episode. Oh, what? Craig, that's frightening. If you're not watching the video, you just missed it. So catch it next time. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. Please. They'll freak out. And give me a binary high five.
101. You can breathe now, Julie.